Welcome to the Wealth Standard Podcast with host Patrick Donahoe, author of the best-selling personal finance book, Heads I Win, Tails You Lose, and one of the nation's most influential financial advisors. The Wealth Standard's focus this season is investing. 2020 opened with markets and asset prices at all-time highs, but many of us experience more financial uncertainty now than we did a decade ago. Although there are more choices and opportunities than ever before, the risk-to-reward ratio teeters on a global fulcrum, contributing to the roller coaster of emotions surrounding financial well-being. It seems like everyone is walking on eggshells. This season, we'll cover topics revolving around investment theory and strategy, atypical investments versus conventional investments, and the role of investing within personal wealth strategies. The Wealth Standard Podcast is committed to inspiring you to be more financially free. There is no better time to gain clarity about your wealth strategy, your investments, and your financial future than now.
Taking a break from the show, you know, entrepreneurs inspire me. I love meeting leaders of successful ventures who discover an idea, formulate the business, and then execute. You'd assume that they know how to structure their personal finances. I believed that too, but I was wrong. Entrepreneurs are never taught to effectively manage their wealth to work alongside their business and lifestyle. All of that work, effort, toil, and time wasted. Entrepreneur 101 is an online course that teaches you a financial strategy that works so that success is not a flash in the pan, but lasting. The spirit of the entrepreneur doesn't have to be compromised. Register for the Entrepreneur 101 course today for free at thewealthstandard.com/ENT. That's Echo November Tango. thewealthstandard.com/ENT. Marcus Aurelius wrote, "You only live in the present, this fleeting moment. The rest of your life is already gone or not yet revealed." I want you to consider the possibility that the quickest path to getting what you want is letting go of your past and future. So Marcus Aurelius continues, "You've been trying to reach many things by taking a long way around. All these things can be yours right now if you stop denying them to yourself. All you have to do is let go of the past, trust the future to providence, and direct the present to reverence and justice." So this morning, in a guided meditation by Sam Harris on his Waking Up app, he said something that was really profound. He said, "Take a moment to think about impermanence. It can be very clarifying to do this. Every experience comes to an end, but we don't quite live as though that were the case. We continually succumb to the illusion that we will arrive in some final position. But there is really no arriving. There's just continual flows of experiences." Seneca wrote, "We are tormented alike by what is past and what is to come. A number of our blessings do us harm, for memory brings back the agony of fear while foresight brings it on prematurely. No one confines his unhappiness to the present." Seneca continues, "What I advise you to do is not to be unhappy before the crisis comes, since it may be that the dangers will never come upon you. They certainly have not yet come. Accordingly, some things torment us more than they should, and some torment us when they should not torment us at all. We are in the habit of exaggerating or imagining or anticipating sorrow." Okay, guys, this is one of the final episode in the Truth About Money series with Todd Lankford. To get the most out of today's episode, this interview segment, I want you to consider that the joy and fulfillment you seek in life happens right now in the present. But to the untrained observer, it's cannibalized by problems taken from the past and irrational fears about the future. Okay, final Stoic quote by Marcus Aurelius. Even if you live 3,000 or 30,000 years, you should remember this. You cannot lose any other life than the one you are living now. Enjoy.
Right, that I think when you discover the rule, like your whole world changes. And I think that rule is just asking yourself the question, how can I appreciate and experience a meaningful life today, right now?
Right.
Right. If that was the only question you asked and the only, you know, rule that you had to follow was waking up and enjoying your environment, enjoying the world we live in, enjoying, you know, the time in history that we live in. I think that, again, it accelerates even more meaningful experiences. And that's, I think time, you can trade money for time, but time can cost you money.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Right. Because yeah. I think that sometimes we will spend our time doing the things that are not meaningful, right? And put it on the altar of sacrifice in order to experience time associated with our rules in the future, right? And we have this, I would say, hallucination that it's worth it. And it may be, I would say at the same time, right? Anything that's beyond today, right now, is a probability, right? And the shorter time frame, higher the probability. Longer time frame, lower the probability.
Yeah. And, you know, it comes down to what you were saying about waking up. And that's the idea of being grateful. If we don't point out and be grateful for the things that we have, and if we're not grateful for anything, then we need to find something in our life that we can be grateful for, right? That pushes production. It pushes a lot of pieces, but it's so easy to get on the negative road. Negative news sells 6 times to 1 on positive news. Okay. So internally, what that means is we're all wired to want to look at the negative at some level. And it takes that discipline to separate ourselves from that, to say, look, we can always find something wrong, but how about we work a little bit on finding something good and something that we can enjoy and something that really lights us up each day. And if we don't have that, then maybe that needs to be the first place we spend our resources, right? In finding that place.
Yeah, there's always something right just as much as there's something wrong. There always will be. That's the environment that we live in. It's the non-constant side of things. And also, again, just understanding human nature, right? We have things that are built into who we are, right? That no longer serve us. Right. And those are instincts of survival. There are instincts, right, to look for danger, right, based on, you know, not being able to feed ourselves 200 years ago, or there's part of our DNA that is still scared of, you know, the tiger in the bushes that could potentially kill you, right? Those are things that are built in, yet they no longer serve us the way that they did at one point in the past, or at least our ancestry, or what's built into our nature. And so again, understanding that, right, allows you to identify and evaluate. Now, this may not be math, this is more logic, but it allows you to evaluate what's going on, right, so that you can have a more logical experience of what reality is, right? We're not, right. We don't need to, you know, go in and hunt all summer long to put food away so we can survive the winter. Okay, we don't have to be afraid, right, of what we were afraid of hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. Okay, that stuff no longer exists, even though a part of us is wired to believe that it does. Okay, so if you remove that, it allows you, again, right, to understand why you feel the way that you do when you're experiencing disheartening news. And then instead of being pulled toward it by that instinct, it's getting, you know, checking yourself and going and seeking what's right, because you know that the wrong is not going to serve you.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it is, I think a lot of times when you talk about stuff like this, a lot of times people feel like, well, you know, that's fine for you. I get pulled into the negative on a regular basis. The difference is I've learned to recognize it. Okay. It's not that it doesn't exist. It's not that the fear doesn't come through, but I push it on through once I recognize it. I've been able to find out and figure out that that's happening to me sooner so that I can address it instead of letting it sit there and fester. And so that's where the differential is. It's not a, oh, I just live this great life. I don't have any fear and I don't do, you know, anything wrong and everything's great. It's that I have moved with a discipline to be able to recognize it, step away from it. Okay, let's think about this logically. Let's see what our options are and try to push that out. So that's where the difference is just becoming familiar with what's going on inside your own head, really.
And it's also, again, it's the awareness, like you said, but then also having options. Okay. Yeah. You know, going to the dials when the environment changes, right? I was, you know, you guys know that we were in this pretty crazy plane or a flight several years ago, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where, you know, the pilot was given false information of where to fly and he flew right into a storm, a hailstorm or two converging storms. And, you know, it felt like the plane was going to crash. Right. So he obviously, and the plane had systems in place, right? That when that chaos that was unexpected happened, there was awareness and there was subsequently action that could take place. Right. And that's where I think, you know, being able to logically program those things into our lives, right, is going to aid us as the environment changes, because we are all going to experience fear. There's going to be things that happen that have never happened before. And they incite something inside of us. That's like, I don't like that. And usually it's the carnal instincts that kick in, right? Where that's what we're focused on. But if we can be aware and have options, right? I had an experience a couple of weeks ago where something happened in business and it, you know, it totally threw me off in a negative way, right? And I was aware of it almost immediately and I knew what to do. I called a personal coach that I have. I knew I had to speak to this person and talk about this. And, you know, it took a couple hours, but it was over. It would have taken weeks,
right?
You know, in the past. But again, yeah. It's one of those things where you experience and then come up with solutions to, I would say, have options when the environment changes.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times people think those options are going to be a cost. And I think that's where strategy comes in. And I think that's a big piece. It's having some logic and some strategy all together to say, okay, how can I put tools in place that I can lean on in the negative, but they don't cost me when the negatives don't happen? You know, that's a bit of an art along with the science. I mean, not everything is pure science. There's some art in there too. And part of that is, okay, so how do I put things in place that I can, like I say, that I can lean on, but they're not going to take away from my end strategy, my end goals, if nothing bad happens. You know, it's not going to be a decrease. So we want to put stuff together in our life, whether it's time, whether it's finances, whatever else, that can do multiple jobs whenever that's possible, right? That we can go on a vacation and enjoy our family all at the same time, or whatever that is, right? So if we can start to pair stuff together, then we get two bangs for every buck, so to speak.
Yeah, I've caught myself a couple times with clients, right, who I get to know, things are going on, and you know they want to make an investment or they want to allocate money here or there, right, to grow wealth. And I'm like, dude, like best investment you can make right now is to take your wife on a vacation.
Yeah.
Right. Or sometimes it's having a specific amount of reserves that are liquid. Right. So it's, again, you're not going to earn returns on it. At the same time, right, what is that going to allow you to do in the event that you need an option? The things don't work out the way that you think.
Right. How do you put a math on that? How do you quantify that? You know, you can't.
So again, it's the evaluation, right? Using logic, but also being aware that you're evaluating non-constants.
Yeah. There's an interesting, this is kind of off the subject a little bit, but there was an interesting part of a movie, Trouble with the Curve. Mm-hmm. And there's a batter that's in a slump and he's a young batter. I mean, he's young, he's new into baseball in the minor leagues. And so his recruiter basically said, how long has it been since you've seen your family? Oh, you know, it's kind of hard for them to get down here. It's pretty expensive and that kind of thing. And he said, look, you just focus on what you're doing and I'll get them down here. Okay. The baseball club was up in arms. It's like, we can't afford, you know, we can't spend money on bringing, just do it. And sure enough, it fixed his batting problem. Okay. So how do you quantify that? Right. You know, that's one of those things. It's about life. It's about all the things that really have meaning that impact everything else that we do.
Thank you for listening to the Wealth Standard Podcast. Be sure to visit the show's official website, thewealthstandard.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Guest opinions are their own. If you require specific investing, financial, legal, tax, or any other specialized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. We welcome and appreciate reviews of the show. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher to leave your review. And don't forget to subscribe to the show to get access to every new episode and exclusive interviews this season. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time.